Smith, you know, with a flower in his hand and a holly behind his ear.
Good guy.
And the gold shoes tippy-toeing around saying Merry Christmas to everybody. See, I've got that picture? Okay, so we both got little transistor radios from what shall remain an unnamed radio company or record company. And little transistors, we both tried them. I tried mine. All I got was shh when I turned it on. Carter said, wouldn't it be funny if I turned mine on and mine worked and yours didn't? He turned his on and his went, blah, 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 got radio right away. See, you should have seen the look on his face when he went,
mine works and yours doesn't.
It illustrates.
Merry Christmas.
No,
Merry Christmas.
It illustrates
Marley's spirit has zipped you. Oh, is that what it
is? That's poetic justice. Your radio is, I hope the battery bursts in there and corrodes.
The hate. More California. Super Frog and Pollywog just crossed a crocodile-infested river to reach the other side and find...
Oh, boy!
All right, now, just take it easy.
What are we
going
to do?
Stand back. Don't worry about it. Stand back. Quick.
Help!
I'll get out my work gun here.
Hurry up!
Let her go! Thing has to get up to operating temperature. However, look at that lion there with three warts the size of garbage pails on him slinking into the jungle ashamed.
Well, wouldn't you, huh?
King of the beasts, a loser.
Now. Right. You gotta be the quickest wart in the West.
My adrenaline is...
a little joke when I've been, yeah.
My adrenaline's up to here.
Let's head on to the Indian village, the anti-Indians.
That's right. These are the people who can stop the great tapioca grunge.
Right, with a dance. Their anti-tapioca dance.
We'll park this brush here. Watch out.
Ah, sticky.
Ooh. There's cloth on that one.
Here's the village. I never had a drink in my life.
Okay, we're in the village. Says welcome.
Light loads.
Welcome to the village, a little sign says.
Right, and there they are.
Ooh.
The Indians.
Oh, there they are. Listen.
They're doing their anti-tapioca dance.
They must know the tapioca grunge is just over the next hill in Dale. Kind of repetition, isn't it?
I can't see how they jump up and down like that without hurting themselves.
Yes, very difficult. However, they've been doing it since kids.
Okay, oh, here they come. Go around the house. We just lost sight of them.
Yes. Okay. That's the other part of the dance.
Well,
that don't show
be enough to stop the tapioca grunge, if it ever will. Let's go
all right, now we'll go
to the valley.
We'll go into the brush here.
Right.
And see if we can find the tapioca grunge should be stopped still.
Here's the valley. The tapioca grunge was flowing down.
That's right. And I
don't see any sign of it
at
all.
I don't see it either.
Oh!
It's still moving.
And it's heading right for us!
We're in real trouble now!
Listen to your Uncle Don.
All right.
This wonderful person, Marguerite Naramore, sent from Richmond, Point Richmond, something that's going to be for you to remember as I'm stepping out. You ready?
Okay,
I want a few tears on that. Okay, ready? Listen to this and keep this in your mind. A man's reputation, once broken, can be repaired. But the world will always keep its collective eye on the place where the crack was. Isn't that great?
That's beautiful.
You can do 1900 goody things, the goody goody gumdrop things. Make one mistake.
Will right. Shakespeare.
What's his name? The bridge builder. Charlie, you'd be interested in this. It said, you strike me as a person who dislikes animals to the extent of engaging in constant verbal go-rounds with animal lovers such as your engineer, Charlie Smith. So I'm writing this to you instead of Carter Smith, as I like to see your kind squirm and grit your teeth as you hear about the wonderful world of little animals. Well, I'll tell you the story first, and I'll argue with her. My little kitten has suddenly acquired a baby elephant walk. It breaks me up to watch her. I didn't think letting her watch Daktari on television would have such an effect on her. She's the first and only one I ever had do this. So will you play Baby Elephant Walk? I'll hold her up to the radio so she'll know it's especially for her. Imagine a kitten. Well, kittens have baby elephant walks until they really get their land legs back, you know? But when it says, you strike me as a person who dislikes animals, I do not, by any stretch of the imagination, dislike animals, but I certainly dislike the way a lot of people feel about animals. Ronnie Shell just walked in and said, you don't like turtles or tortoises. No, there's a place for animals. And I think the misplaced affection of a lot of people toward animals where they could easily take up a human being somewhere along the line. Human beings are a little rougher to get along with than animals, and this is why they do it, you see. Animals don't talk back. They don't disagree with you. They don't really have a mind of their own. But I'll tell you something, that little pussycat of yours, if he was as big as you were, I think you'd go along with me. When you're smiling. Yeah, when you're smiling. The whole world smiles with you. And when you're laughing. Oh, when you're laughing. The sun comes shining through. You know the words now. Come on now. I think it's a little high for both of us, but it's fun. That's Bert Camford. It's 5 minutes.
Number, why did you answer the phone?
3.5 minutes to eight.
The pistol, but it makes me nervous when she holds it on her lap at breakfast.
What do the men mean when they say they're behind the eight ball?
It's something they do to each other in Wall Street.
So I gave him a haughty look and I said, whom do you think you are, anyways?
Where'd you get those big brown eyes and that tiny mind?
No matter who's nominated, my mother's going to vote for Lindbergh.
She overheard him say that Brazil was bigger than the United States, so she phoned the FBI.
So I said to the bank teller, how can I be overdrawn when I have all these checks left?
Chase me, I got the marshmallows. That's an excerpt from a Thurber Carnival. Charlie, you don't happen to have, do you? Great. Right after the news, I would like to play for you The Unicorn in the Garden. It's been a long time since we played it. Kind of ties in with Christmas, fantasy, etc. The Unicorn in the Garden, we will do after the news. It's 2 minutes. Ronnie Shell, who is about to be a big star of his own show, playing a disc jockey. Well, Ronnie just walked in, and I'm going to read this to him, and I want you to take it to heart, Ron.
I will, Don.
A man's reputation once broken can be repaired, but the world will always keep its collective eye on the place where the crack was. And I want you to keep that in mind, fella.
I shall, Tom.
Watch yourself, huh?
I will.
At all times. Of course, I know that you're pretty straight.
Well, it's such a pleasure to be back up here in the Bay Area. And, you know, we don't get the local news down there, and I just found out that you're quitting, and I'm very sorry to hear that. Is it really true?
Yes, it is, Ron. It is true.
Couldn't get any farther, huh? so decided to get it back, right? Well, you'll be remembered for months, believe me.
Kind of makes the guy feel good to know he'll be remembered for months, maybe even weeks. If you want to set your watch, it'll be 8 o'clock at the beeper.
Here it is. There's an album, very old album, called A Thurber Carnival. In it, the unicorn in the garden.
Once upon a sunny morning, a man who sat in a breakfast shop looked up from his scrambled eggs to see a white unicorn with a gold horn quietly cropping the roses in his garden. He went upstairs to the bedroom where his wife was still asleep, and he woke her.
There's a unicorn in the garden, eating roses.
She opened one unfriendly eye and looked at him.
The unicorn is a mythical beast.
And she turned her back on him. The man walked quietly downstairs and back into the garden. The unicorn was still there. He was now browsing among the tulips.
Here, unicorn.
And he pulled up a lily and gave it to him. The unicorn ate it gravely. With a high heart, because there was a unicorn in his garden, the man went back upstairs and roused his wife again.
The unicorn ate a lily!
His wife sat up in bed and looked at him coldly.
You are a booby, and I am going to have you put in the booby hatch.
Now the man, who never had liked the words booby and booby hatch, and who liked them even less on a shiny morning when there was a unicorn in his garden, thought for a moment.
We'll see about that.
And he walked to the door.
It has a golden horn in the middle of its forehead.
Then he went back downstairs and out into the garden to watch the unicorn. But the unicorn had gone away. So the man sat down among the roses and went to sleep. As soon as her husband was out of the house, the wife got up and dressed as fast as she could. She was very excited and there was a strange glow in her eye. She telephoned to the police and she telephoned to a psychiatrist. And she told them to hurry on over to her house and bring with them a straitjacket. When the police and the psychiatrist arrived at the house, they sat themselves down in chairs and they looked at the wife with great interest.
My husband saw a unicorn this morning.
The police looked at the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist looked at the police.
He told me it ate a lily.
The psychiatrist looked at the police. And the police looked at the psychiatrist.
He told me it had a golden horn in the middle of its forehead.
At a solemn signal from the psychiatrist, the police leapt out of their chairs and seized the wife. They had a hard time subduing her, for she put up a terrific struggle, but they finally did subdue her. Just as they got her into the straitjacket, the husband came back into the house. The policeman said,
"Did you tell your wife you saw a unicorn?"
"Of course not. The unicorn is a mythical beast."
The psychiatrist said,
"That's all I wanted to know. I'm sorry, sir, but your wife's as crazy as a jaybird."
So they took her away, cursing and screaming. They shut her up in an institution. The husband lived happily ever after. Moral?
Don't count your boobies until they're hatched.
One of the most delightful addendums to that is the look Charlie gets on his face when he plays it. And they took his wife away. And Charlie always gets kind of a strange, faraway look in his eye. It's 8
down the old dirt road there. See if we can find the dirt dauber himself. There he is. He stripped himself of the red and white coveralls. And he's back in his old dirty, filthy mess all over him.
Hi-ho, Diaz. Hi-ho, garden lovers.
Yeah, I know, this is kind of a quiet
high hope. Well, it's a quiet day because a lot of people have the day off. First of all, there are frost warnings, first time really of the season, and you know that means you have to be concerned about things that would be damaged.
Trouble in River City, right?
By temperatures, yes.
Frosty the snowman. Boy, he touches your flowers and they're
gone.
Boom.
Here's the point. If you're going to cover any plants to protect them from the winter,
yes,
be sure that the air can circulate around in there. People make the common mistake of covering with plastic file
right
film
down
or
to the ground.
Burlap right to the ground, and the air doesn't move, and that hurts it.
Oh, what do you do then?
Just make sure it's up a little bit.
Put a couple little cigarette holes in the plastic?
No, keep it up off the ground so the air can move. You want to be able to insulate it from the frost, keep the warm air inside there, and yet you don't want it to just kind of, you know, get icky or whatever air does. You know, just kind of congeal in there. Of course, in
your
our...
Your command is beautiful of these gardening terms.
In our great...
Air gets inky.
In our great citrus forests now, the smudge pots are on their way as farmers begin to warm the fields to keep citrus from doing what citrus do when it gets too cold.
Get icky.
No, they don't get icky. They get frostbitten. Bad leaves turn, curl.
Yeah.
All of the...
I was out to Al Newman's house. Murray, laughs at Harry Murray. He lives up in Terra Linda. And he showed me, by George, he showed me a robin that had gotten juiced.
Pyracantha berries. Yeah.
Right. And this robin had gotten juiced and was sitting on the fence and wouldn't move. Just looked at us right in the eye. You know, most of the time, you open the door to the patio or something, the robin takes off.
Yeah.
Wouldn't move. Just looked us all right in the eye as if to say, go ahead, take one more step. A nasty drunk.
A drunken robin on the fence, which illustrates the old saying.
What's
That's
that?
That's why it didn't fly. Birds of a feather walk together.
And I'm pointing at Charlie Smith, who's going to sleep.
What are we
going to
do?
Oh, I'm in a real quandary. First of all, I'm mad as the dickens against those natives.
Well, they didn't.
They had a reputation and they fell down on the job.
Well, here it comes and it's coming closer and it's going to do us in.
We're backed up against the end of this box canyon. We're boxed in here.
Look up there.
Look. Oh.
There's a cave.
The entrance
to a
cave.
It's too high to reach and it's straight up a sheer cliff.
Well, when in doubt, reach into the utility belt and I'll get out my axe.
Ooh,
you see that large yum-yum tree?
Yeah.
I'm going to cut that yum-yum tree in such a way, using my Natty Bumpo handbook, to get her to put right down against the entrance of that cave.
Hey,
here we go.
Great idea, Super. Hurry up.
More tapioca.
It fell against the cliff. Let's climb up.
Okay, come on. Oh, we're out of the way.
Oh, here, we're in the cave now.
We're in the cave entrance.
One
more incredible cave.
It's a narrow cave.
Good night, guys. You know that this game is so long, that condensation is bouncing all the way down.
When I go.
Sausalito underwater search. If you lose your keys, he'll find them. If your prop gets wrapped with fishing line, he'll take it out for you. Just took a big last swig out of a cup of coffee. And for some reason or other got ground. There was a whole bunch of grounds in there. That's why I was laughing, in the bottom. And he just stuck his tongue out and it looked like something from outer space. What do, you know? A tongue full of ground. But anyway,
yesterday, putting all the toys together, I guess because of labor charges, most toys come disassembled now. And Santa Claus has to put it together on the spot. We all know who he is. And it's murder, you know, part A to part B and everything else like that. And we were talking about toys and shopping and all that sort of thing, and it brought to mind one of the most excruciating shopping tours I've ever went on in my life. I mean, truly excruciating. I went in to buy a couple of life jackets. I took aboard a couple of people on my boat. So I had to have life jackets for them, because if the Coast Guard catches you with not enough life jackets for the people you got, you're really in trouble. So I went into this ship supply store over in Tiburon, right off the water. It used to be there. I don't think it's there anymore. And they had a bunch of these aerosol cans with horns on them. You know, you get under pressure, you get these horns. Everybody should have a horn of some kind. Air horn, okay?
And they're all sitting up on a top shelf. Just about ear level. I was standing there looking off into the distance waiting for the salesman, and this buddy of mine that was with me reached over my shoulder and said, "Hey, I wonder if these things are activated," and pressed the button. And the trumpet to this thing was about 2 inches from my ear. I mean, the tears rolled down my cheeks. My hair turned gray overnight. And that kid never got another boat ride as long as he lived. But you try that sometime. Oh, boy, you think Gabriel's there, and he's got his whole group with him, and this must be it. You like to eat out of the...
What's got in store for folks on the Mr. Wonderful show today?
Very low key. Very low key.
A lot of violin music and tootling.
No. Very up. A lot of up music. People need that after Christmas, because there's always a letdown, because you really didn't get what you wanted for Christmas. Everything.
Mr. Wonderful Jr.'s up show.
Up. Everything is up. Noisy. Very.
Play holiday music, or is that it?
No. Holiday music is out. We're back to the music of today.
Well, for the folks, fellas and stuff like that that aren't going to work, do you have anything special today? Something?
Something will develop. I've been parlayed a very good living out of waiting for something to develop.
5 minutes before 9 o'clock, and if you have nothing to do today, if it's one of those letdown days, the races are open. You're going to be harnessing quarter horses, and the strike settled. Might be a lot of fun for you. Nothing to do with, this is from a disc jockey release, you see. These are funny lines. We're coming to the Christmas season when some men surprise their wives with mink coats and some women surprise their husbands with mink coats. And that's more like it. More like the way. Christmas shoppers are people with a spirit of brotherly shove.
Why does Christmas have to come just the time of year when the stores are all crowded?
Kind of cute.
It's 20 minutes till 9. It's going to be frosty tonight. I remember when I got my bike. It was the same kind of day as today. Guess that was the biggest day ever. The bike. Oh, it's funny.
You know, somebody accused me of not liking them, and I say no. I just don't like the way people feel about animals sometimes instead of humans. I think if you've got love to give, there's so little of it between us. That's where it should be directed. This girl went into a pet shop and asked for a sweater for her dog. She didn't know the exact size, and the clerk suggested she bring the dog in and have it fitted, and she said, "I couldn't do that. You see, it's a Christmas present, and I want to surprise him." As if the dog could know what the devil's going on. But, of course, I was up Christmas Eve, standing on the balcony, looking out. I don't know whether you saw him, but I did. And he has a new model sled. It's got a reindeer in the rear. Yeah. Oh, it's quarter to nine. Oh.
And then?
So it reads the Yellow Pages. In banquet rooms, baker's supplies, balancing equipment, balancing service. Anytime you want something, rent something, or get something fixed, you'll find help fast in the Yellow Pages. When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles. And when you're laughing, oh, when you're laughing, people are gonna question. I'll see you on the morrow. Have a quiet day. Probably a little bit of a letdown, but don't let it get you. The whole thing came to you from KSFO in San Francisco. 9:10. Means it's time for sanctuary. So we walk down the garden path and meet the old dirt daubers. We bring you gardening by mail. Hi-ho, DS.
Hi-ho,
garden lovers. You know, yesterday I was talking about protecting your plants from the frost, and there wasn't a lot of severe.
frost last night?
There was an East Bay.
Well,
I have a report.
I don't know.
I have a question for you, too.
There certainly wasn't any frost in Marin County, at least, which just shows and illustrates a good point that when you prepare for something, it never happens. Now, tonight, it's supposed to be warmer, so it'll be colder, and everything will be frostbitten. I was just going to say, now's a good time to consider taking care of your roses and pruning them back, getting them in condition. They need a good spray, too. Good general spray to kill the spores and the little teeny things that get bigger in the springtime. Protect all of your trees.
Should you spray houseplants?
No, you don't have to. Usually.
They don't get...
Well, once in a while they get aphids. Little aphids or something, and
you can almost take that off by hand.
Right? Good, little tweezers, and a jeweler's lens.
Pop them off,
name them. There's Ed. You can, ants do that.
I know they do.
Sometimes they'll attract.
Why do houseplant leaves turn yellow, old dear Dobber?
They're dying.
Why?
Well, dying
of what? Lack of water?
No, leaves just die. You mean all of them at one time turning yellow?
No, one or two at a time.
This is nature. They simply have reached the cycle, and the plant knows that the leaf is no longer efficient in manufacturing what leaves manufacture, so it seals the leaf off, and the leaf dies like that.
Oh, that's not an indication of a
normal. No, not necessarily. They all turn. They all begin to go. Then you've got something wrong.
All right, one more question. A person.
A person?
A person that I know.
Now, I'm not a doctor. I can't talk about
a human.
Oh.
A person is a person.
Yes.
Has a poinsettia.
Yes. Poinsettia.
Poinsettia. I always get the I in the wrong place.
I do, too.
Poinsettia?
Yeah.
Okay, they got a poinsettia. And someone, I guess they got an instruction book, and it said that poinsettias have to have 12 hours of light and 12 hours of dark to really blossom. And if you turn the lights on in the house around a poinsettia here, that you ball it up.
Well, of course, regular house lights are not the same as sunlight.
Oh.
Any clown you can...
But a plant...
Forget it.
No, I wasn't trying to...
I wasn't a clown.
If you remember in the last episode, Super Frog and Pollywog had escaped momentarily from the great tapioca grange by chopping a tree and having it fall against a sheer cliff and climbing up the tree into a cave. And as we join them, we find them in the cave.
Well, another close call, Polly. This has turned out to be a rotten vacation.
It sure has, Soup. I agree with you. Maybe we should have gone someplace.
Oh. Condensation.
Wherever we go, at some time or another, just into each life a little. Must fall.
I don't know what we're going to do, because I'll tell you what's happening out there. The tapioca grange has filled the Box Canyon and is slowly rising along the walls. Now, you notice there are lines there on the walls where the grange has gone before. And I noticed that once it flowed right into this cave, you can see.
Oh, boy, what a mess we're in, right?
I wonder what this grange will do if it flows over our bodies.
Probably dissolve. Wait a minute.
What's that?
It's coming from the back of the cave. Let's go back.
Find out what that is.
I'm in here playing my drum.
Redwood Wine
Rack. What Redwood? You say that better than I do.
Well, you possibly haven't talked in some time.
I haven't seen anybody in here since I don't know when. Since my drum tuner came in.
Where'd you come from?
I came from Iowa City. I'm the last surviving member of the Eagle Tribe.
The Eagle Tribe? Iowa City? Well, that's your prerogative. If you want to think that, you can.
I was running a tour through here, and everybody else went away from this place.
You just got stuck here during high water, is that right?
I got a terrible thing happened to me here.
There's something flapping in the background. I don't know what that is.
Got a lot of bats here.
Yeah.
A lot of bats.
Yeah, we got more than we figured.
Say, Mr. Weinreich,
do you
by any chance wonder what we're doing in this cave?
What are you doing in this cave?
Oh, you do wonder then.
Not really.
You're easily impressed. I can
see that. I play a lot of drum in here.
It's good to meet a guy from the States.
Yes.
Hey, would you play that again?
Would you like to hear the
Let's hear it.
Go.
This guy's been in here since the 40s.
Huh?
That's a Gene Krupa riff. Can you imagine that?
You can hardly get there.
Wow.
That's authentic.
Hey, you know,
come here.
Get out of there. What? You know the great Tapioca Grange?
Oh, yeah. That's easy. He's nothing to me. He's nothing.
What do you mean? He's filling up the valley outside.
You can stop him in a second.
Can you?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, let's go out there. Boy, tiny feet.
Here we are outside the cave. How do you stop him?
I'll show you. Want to see?
Stop him.
All right, stop with the Grange Tapioca stuff, fella.
Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Stop deader than a grange.
Isn't that amazing?
That's the most incredible thing I've ever seen.
I'm going to go back in and play my drums.
Go ahead.
So long, Red.
Thanks a lot for your help.
Gee, what a great guy.
He was terrific, but he didn't really care about us at all. He went back in to play his drums.
Oh, but don't you see, as you said at the beginning of this episode, many episodes ago, not always is it us that are called upon in the yule season to do what's right by mankind.
Can I go back in the cave, too? That's old Fern Young, love fast, and live hard, and whatever it is, I don't know. I just read a bunch of books on how to live life and all that sort of thing. Here's something for dropouts, or to the parents of dropouts. To raise a son without learning is raising an ass. To raise a daughter without learning is raising a pig. That's kind of harsh language, isn't it? And of course, during this, the festive season, another old Chinese proverb that's really very good. I like this. When eating bamboo sprouts, remember the man who planted them. I like that. That's a good thought. And turning then to Wilson Meisner, I'm very happy to hear that he said this once. We all have something to fall back on, and I never knew a phony who didn't land on it eventually. I like it, I like it, I like it. And Shilling, I want you to comment.
You want an honest, candid, unrehearsed reply.
Right.
Okay.
Someone sent this little poem in. I'm going to read it to you. And then I want you to comment on it. When we get up weekdays at dawn, we turn on the radio to hear your voice in the morn. Many a day you weren't there, I just say, I swear. A lot of your stories and remarks were bold. You acted as if you didn't care and were cold. But we suspected deep down in our heart you're very soft and just playing your part.
It's really not too good a poem, is it?
No, it isn't.
But
I didn't read it well.
That's a true. All of that, deep down in your heart. You are soft.
I fooled you too?
You're soft. You're really soft. Maybe a little...
You mean chicken?
No. No, I think that's true.
Well, you're wrong.
You're really a rotten person.
There are three layers. The top layer is phony.
The second layer is phony.
And the bottom layer is coal.
I was going to say somebody stole the bottom layer.
The bottom layer is as hard as a rock. And flinty.
Don't you believe it?
Baloney.
Don't you believe it?
It really is.
No, it is not.
Yes, it is. Ten and a half people away. There he is, by George, back in his khaki-colored dungarees. Literal description. The older brothers.
Hi-ho, DS. Hi-ho, garden lovers.
Hi-ho.
Today at the Small World Department, a letter sent to Mr. Robert D. Blackburn, who is Secretary Treasurer of the Hyacinth Control Society of Fort Lauderdale.
How is Bobby?
He's fine. Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Yeah.
And this is from the editor of Agrochemical West. He sent a letter to this Secretary Treasurer, and I want to read one sentence because it adds some validity to this program, in spite of the constant carping and ridicule that I put up with from you, sir. A couple of days ago...
I read a few letters. There's some other carps around.
Just a couple of days ago, Carter Smith...
Some people don't think you're such a hot gardener.
Well, they don't know. Now, here, this is proof. This is why I'm reading this. Why I went to all the trouble. Just a couple of days ago, Mr. Carter Smith, who participates in a popular daily San Francisco radio program, there's only one thing wrong with that, the daily part, devoted considerable time to a lighthearted, comma, but nevertheless informative discussion of the Hyacinth Control Program. And he further asks Mr. Blackburn, are you following all this? It's a little complicated.
Yes, I am.
Further asks Mr. Blackburn to put me on his mailing list. And I'm going to apply to become a member of the Water Hyacinth Control Society, which I think is a rather exclusive group.
You know, I would have never dreamed in 100 years that there was a society like that.
Well, that's how serious the problem is.
I guess so. It's amazing. For those of you who didn't...
Can you sit up a little bit, because you're way off.
Those of you who didn't hear the program the other day, it seems a little like the cow that kicked over the lantern in Chicago. A woman threw some water hyacinths out. They came originally from where?
I don't know.
Someplace. She threw them out, where, Johnny? They came from Japan. She threw them out of her window or something?
No,
like
she
that.
Had a fish pond, and they took over the pond, so she threw them into the river.
Ah, that's right. And then they began to lodge against the banks, and before you know it, these things took over and choked off the river and choked off all the tributaries, and now they're really up to here in water hyacinths.
It's a curious thing because they're a beautiful plant and gorgeous, but they have no... See, they have no natural predators here that feed on them.
What feeds on them in Japan?
Well, I don't know. They have some snails, I think, over there that eat them, I think, or something. They don't have... Japan is a small country, and they don't have a lot of big rivers. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, but they have rivers, and they certainly don't want what rivers they have choked up.
No.
I wonder if I could take just a moment out
here. Certainly.
Perhaps we could solve this right here.
Right?
Now, you say they've controlled it, and all this talk is just a lot of me.
No, they're the next thing they're trying is to breed sea manatees.
That's right.
I told you. Those are the things that the sailors thought were mermaids. They look like ugly women. Kind of. And they're breeding those.
Depends on how long you're out.
Yes. They breed... not too quickly, though. It's going to take a number of years. But they dearly love the water hyacinth, so they're going to import them.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But I'd like to thank Mr. Beeler.
I was thinking of teenagers.
Hmm?
Yeah, just put teenagers around there.
Well...
Don't tell them what they are. Say, look at those pretty flowers growing on the water.
Yeah, I got a better
idea. Don't ever say destroy them. Just say, look how pretty those are, see?
You'd have to put up big signs, warnings. These plants are protected. They're rare. Don't do anything to them.
They've
or
cleaned out overnight.
Another idea is to spread the word that if you smoke a water hyacinth, you go. That would do it, wouldn't it?
The leaves of this plant, when dried, rolled, and smoked, will cause hallucinations.
Sure.
That river be clean overnight.
At the Nairobi, Kenya airport with Shani Hasbayu. Well, Polly, it seems like only yesterday we were here on our way for this great trip.
Yeah.
Now we're back. First phase of our vacation, the Ruins Ori 3 tour is over.
Right, I enjoyed it. Now that I can look back on it. You know, adventure is always better to read about or look back on, but never while you're having it.
Well,
right?
You know, you're only 9 years old and you don't drink, but let me tell you, as an old-timer, that unless you have a little suffering, unless you have a little emotion, you have nothing to look back on.
I'd like to jot that down. It's really beautiful.
And also, we learn manners and we don't smart our elders. But I can't get that through either. Johnny, how's by you? You've been a brick here. You really have taken us all the way through.
Thank you very much, Avendi.
Well, I guess we better settle up with you. Have you got a bill?
I would, I have enjoyed very much your company, and I would simply consider 2 dinar enough.
2 dinar, let's see. I'll give you a dinar, sure.
I happen to have a picture of Dina Louise.
Well, thank you very much.
You're easily pleased, aren't you? You're exhausted. It's been a tough tour.
Yes.
Now, luckily, we installed a phone in the cave of Redwood Wine Rack, and so if the tapioca grunge ever cuts loose again, give him a call. It'll shut him up quick.
Thank you, Great Frog, and may honor be with you.
Very nice. You're very polite.
He certainly is.
He's gone off back to his little booth there to find another... find another sucker.
Well, let's take the plane, huh?
Let's take something.
A passage of time.
Well, here we are crossing the Great Sahara in an airplane.
Next stop, we're heading for... Where are we heading?
North Africa.
North Africa.
Cairo.
And Egypt, too.
Alexandria. There's something. Something wrong with this plane.
Something burning. I can smell it in the hole.
We're right over the desert. The great sea of sand.
This could be trouble.
We shouldn't have taken this little plane, Soup. I don't know whether you know what you're doing.
I got a deal. We traded this out.
Oh. Well, we should fix something.
Let's see. Let me get my utility belt here. Airplane repair. Under A, airplane ticket.
We haven't got time for that, Soup.
We're gonna crash.
Something's wrong.
See if I'm all here. Leg A, leg B, arms, head. It's me, Polly.
Polly. Yeah, I'm all right. I'm a little dizzy, but I'm okay. Leg A, B, C, I'm all right.
This is a bitter and erratic wind that grows across the storm-tossed desert sands.
Boy, it's lonely out here, you know? It really is. Wait a minute. High up there. On the hill. High up on the hill, I see.
Is there a whippoorwill?
A great fort.
There is a great fort. I wonder if it's in use. We better trot out.
It looks empty.
Yeah, I don't know whether it is or not.
Yep. Perhaps we're saved.
It could be the Legion. It could be the Legion.
Let's go up there.
And laughing wind. And I'll explain it in a moment. It's 18:29. You see, we didn't have a wind sound effect, so we each had to go... While the other guy was talking, this made, on several occasions, a laughing wind. And if you didn't listen closely, a laughing wind sounds like this. Like that. It's a cheap, what you call your cheap production. It's going to be snapshots to mail away for processing. And you will get a special holiday gift of 500 blue chip stamps. If and only if you write my name on the front of the envelope. 250 stamps for black and white films. Now this gift is not offered in any other way. It's just between you and me. And mail away. No name, no stamps. Don't use any other envelope. No name. That's my name. Fred. All you have to do is write Don Sherwood on the envelope and mail it in. I have sat in the audience many a time and been secretly in love with this young lady, and she opens tonight in the Fairmont Hotel's brand new room. Used to be the LaRonde room. They had a merry-go-round that you go went around in while you drank, and that was something else. They took that out. Had a few problems with that one. Anyway, they've got a room now that's it's a New Orleans room right off the main lobby, and it's great. Low lights, piano bar, the whole thing, see? And this young lady is going to hold forth up there for a while, and I'm going to sit quietly in a dark corner and watch. I don't know whether you heard this one or not, but about the London peer who was driving his new Rolls-Royce car over the Alps,
when he heard a disquieting twang. His front spring had snapped. He called the Rolls plant in London by long distance, and in what seemed like no time flat, three gentlemen arrived by plane with a new spring. The Baron continued his jaunt over the Alps. When 6 months had gone by and he'd received no invoice from the Rolls-Royce people, he called the factory and asked that he be billed for the repair of a broken spring in Switzerland. After a brief delay, the manager of the plant came to the phone and announced, "There must be some mistake, sir. There is no such thing as a broken spring in a Rolls Royce." It's three. You deserve a talking to in this area, because here's your old buddy.
Sure.
Okay? Well, hold on just a second. 10 and a half minutes. Well, Carter, I drove home yesterday afternoon, just about the ending of your program. You changed your theme song. You never tell your old friend.
Yeah.
Huh?
I went to a new Derrick and Ray, the new Derrick and Ray LP.
Now, there's a new Derrick and Ray.
Yeah.
Is that newer than the one we've got in here?
No, it's the same one.
Same one, but you picked a nice tune. It was a good tune.
St. Thomas, yes.
You didn't tell me that.
No, because I use it as a theme.
It's my kind of music. Charlie, would you get it out of the bin?
LP 61. LP 61, St. Thomas.
LP 61, St. Thomas, Charlie. I want to show everybody what Carter's doing. You see, he, being a staffer, spends time picking his music. Now, instead of coming up to me like a buddy and saying, "Hey, Don, hey, pal, I found a new tune I think you'd like," because you know what kind of music I like, other than Blue Moon.
Yeah.
But no, you didn't, did you?
No, I didn't. I'm trying to think why.
Is it because you're a rotten guy?
No, but the best example is Tom Collins, which you play about 18 times a morning now.
Yeah.
I can hardly play Tom Collins in my own program.
Not the same people listen to you.
Sure they
listen
do.
To me.
The same intelligent people. They're just a little, the hangover is worn off by the time they get to my time period.
Baloney.
Don't give me that.
It'd be nice if you could have a little bluebonnet container in the elevator. Because the worst place in the world for human beings to be put together is in an elevator.